And aloha. Welcome to the Travel Angel Radio Show. I'm Cindy Palos, and yes, I am live on a Memorial Day. Most of the shows you're hearing are recorded today, but I am live, and I am so happy. I have a wonderful guest in the studio, Danielle Hattori from South Maui Animal Clinic. Great to have you here, Danielle. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Thanks for having me.
There are people that actually work on Memorial Day.
There are.
Your clinic's actually open. You said you had an emergency earlier that you had to deal with down there, right?
Yes, we actually have three clinics on Maui. So we have Central Maui Animal Clinic, West Maui Animal Clinic, and South Maui Animal Clinic, and we are all open.
So a little bit of travel news, as you just heard. Not a good time to be in Britain. Number one, they had that terrible terrorism incident. Just last Monday, we were actually just starting our show when it came out in the news about the terrorist report. And then now the latest one is that, of course, for 3 days, they've been having a huge backup. Now, they say it's fixed, but the power failure caused disruption for thousands of passengers. Now, they don't celebrate Memorial Day like we do, but they do celebrate a bank holiday. So it was a very busy time at the airport. And the airline is closer to full operational capacity. But a lot of passengers, in fact, thousands of passengers, remain displaced with large numbers sleeping overnight in terminals. They have not explained the cause of the power problem. Like, number one, now you'd think British Airways, huge, huge, major airline, why don't they have backup? It's like, wait a second, what's wrong with this picture? I'm sorry, I was a little suspicious. I immediately thought they got hacked or something. But I'm not sure. Passengers on canceled flights have been told to use the BA website to rebook, so hopefully everything is all back. And the executive, chief executive, Alex Cruz, did apologize in a very British way. He was very, very sorry. Of course he is. I thought it was rather interesting. He said, I'm not resigning. I'm sorry, but I'm not resigning. What went wrong? Oh, my gosh. They blamed this power cut, but a corporate IT expert said it should not have caused even a flicker of the lights in the data center. So even if the power could not be restored, the airline's disaster recovery plan should have whirred into action. But that would have depended on part of the veteran staff with knowledge of the patchwork of systems built up over the years. So a lot of the people may have been left when maybe they weren't even there. Maybe the main people weren't there. And maybe the IT operation was outsourced to India. Honest to gosh, this happens, folks, as we well know. Whenever we call, in fact, many of our airlines, you know it's a person from India answering the phone. And one theory said, from an IT expert says, an expert who does not wish to be named, is that when the power came back on, the systems were unusable because the data was unsynchronized. Okay, now you're getting a little over my head, but I'm kind of getting it. But in other words, the airline was suddenly faced with a mass of conflicting records of passengers, aircraft, and baggage movements, all the complex logistics of modern air travel. So this is why I wrote the book, The Travel Angel Handbook, folks, because there's going to be times, unfortunately, when these kind of things happen. It just seems that lately this kind of thing happens more and more often. So The Travel Angel Handbook is available on Kindle and as a soft cover book. Very, very reasonable. Really, you can get it for a couple bucks. But lots of exercises to de-stress, meditation exercises, things to do to make yourself calm, and a lot of really valuable information that you can use when things like this happen. And it's, as I say, this is happening more and more. I love traveling, and I travel a lot, but I just see these situations getting really hard to handle. But you always can always try, as we say here in Hawaii, to practice a little bit of aloha, find people to talk to, meditate, just relax. Basically, when you're in those situations, there's not much you can do. And you just kind of have to really put yourself in the state of mind that you're going to get through it. And you know you're going to get through it. You may not get what you want on time, but there's really not too much you can do about that. So you have to really try to keep the best attitude that you can. And that's the reality of what's going on. Kathy Takushi is our co-sponsor, and she texted me a little while ago. She has kidney stones today. And unfortunately, she is in a lot of pain, and she couldn't make it in. So, but I'm giving her a shout-out. Prayers to you. We all know kidney stones are not a pleasant thing to have to go through. I have to admit, when I texted her back, I said, it's a good thing you're not traveling. I can't imagine being on an airplane flight and getting kidney stones if you were flying. Now, that would take a lot of meditating and a lot of, and pain pills as well. I was like, those are really, really tough things. So, Kathy, we hope you feel better. I think if you were here, we'd be talking a little bit about the fact that the Paul Gauguin deals for Kama Einers are really selling well. There are still some available that are super-duper deals. So you can call Kathy tomorrow, or if Kathy's not in, Tina, at 244-1414, 244-1414, whether you want to go to for a really good deal, like $21.95 to Tahiti for 7 days, or you want to go anywhere in the world. I'll tell you, it was so funny. I was Googling the story about British Airways, and I put in British Airways. The first two stories, actually, that came up on Google was, get some great deals flying British Airways. It's like, when these things happen, sometimes you can get good air deals. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about today, if you have maybe got the clue when I mentioned my guest here, about a subject I've only covered maybe once before on the show over the years, and that's about pets and travel. And this is really a huge, huge story. As you might know, we have a wonderful show on Saturday that we air here with Warren Eckstein about pets. It's a very popular show. People love, love, love their pets. Yes, they love their pets, and they don't even think of them as pets, right?
That's exactly
They're
right.
A member of the family, aren't
That's
they?
Totally right.
Yeah. And it, and for longtime residents, I've been here now 28 years on Maui. We remember how it was, oh my gosh, way back when it was a nightmare. And people literally wouldn't move here if they were coming from out of state, because sometimes their pets would have to be in quarantine for months because of the rabies laws and things, right?
That's exactly right. If you quarantine a pet, it is 3+ months. You know, locked away, basically away from their owners. And so we provide a service called Direct Airport Release, where a pet can fly directly into Maui. They don't even need to go through Oahu. They can come straight to Maui and be released here with no quarantine at all.
Now, and I had not heard about that. I thought you still had to go through Oahu. Now, thank God, it's a lot better for people with pets than it used to be. I believe that now you can, if you're coming from another state, that you can have your pets checked for rabies and tested by a vet, and then you just have to keep the pet at home or prove that the pet's contained for what, how long about?
It's not even so much the containing, it's more so just having the 2 rabies vaccinations. They need to have that. And then your veterinarian on the mainland will do a blood titer test that's sent to Kansas State University. And once
A blood what?
A blood titer test. So it's a blood test that they send to the university after the 2 rabies vaccinations. There's a time gap between each vaccine and between doing the titer test. But once the titer test is sent to Kansas State University and the results come back that they're rabies negative, your pet is cleared for travel.
So they don't even have to keep them in quarantine. I thought they still had that rule in place.
No, it's more so just about implementing the fact that the pet is rabies free.
Wow.
So it's the process of making sure that they're fully vaccinated. And once they're fully vaccinated, having the blood test done to show that they are completely rabies free.
Do they need to be rechecked when they arrive on Maui?
When they arrive on Maui, our direct airport release team meets them at the airport. Oftentimes, we meet the pets before we even meet the humans, and we'll let them off the plane, let them go shishi, let them go
potty.
Oh,
you actually will be at the airport to meet them?
At the airport, yep. That's part of, the regulation is that we have a staff member.
Oh, that you have to be there.
Yep, and we have to check and make sure all their paperwork is proper, that they've been microchipped, and that they have, you know, the proper flea prevention. And then once we do that, then the pet's free to go and they can live on Maui. I mean, we even tell people it's a wedding destination. People can come from the mainland, bring their pets with them to their wedding here and take them back home.
I was not aware of that. So how do people coordinate with you before, if they're from the mainland, how do they know to coordinate this? Because obviously if you have to be there to meet them, this is a lot of coordination as far as you knowing when they arrive and being at the airport and everything.
Well, I think the best part about the direct airport release program that we have is that we help you through everything. So the paperwork and things like that are often daunting for people who are flying directly through Oahu where it's this huge branch and it's like talking to robots.
Yeah.
If you do the direct airport release program, you're speaking to somebody that answers all of your questions. You're coordinating directly with Kelly, is our direct release, person that we primarily use, or Priscilla.
But so how would they know about you on the mainland when they were wanting to come over? How do they usually find you?
They usually find us through our website. And then we have our direct release number that we give out to people. You can reach our direct release team by calling 808-446-1521. Kelly usually answers.
Let's repeat that a few times.
Sure.
People are, maybe by the pool drinking or out of the ocean or whatever, and then maybe they're driving and it's hard to remember a number. But I will post this later. But what's that number again?
The number for our direct release team is 808-446-1521. And it's likely you'd be speaking with Kelly. And she can answer all of your questions. I think the main thing to remember when you're flying to Hawaii with a pet is to get a head start. That's how you avoid quarantine, is that you get the head start, you get all the vaccines done in time, you get the blood work done in time. We say give yourself 3 months or more.
Oh, see, that's important.
Yes, that's the most important thing, because people think they hear about direct release, but they don't know the full details. Even with flying through Oahu, if you don't want to quarantine and you want to fly through Oahu, same exact thing. You still need all of these requirements. There is really no difference between flying through Oahu and flying with direct release, except that you get to come directly to Maui versus going through Oahu, but you need the time more than anything.
I'm going to bring up a story I heard. It was, I think, 2 weeks ago, that was very disturbing to pet lovers. It was British Airways again. I think they have a curse on them. Maybe you heard this story. There's a British breeder of rabbits that breeds giant rabbits. You haven't heard this story?
No.
And like, this giant rabbit was going to be in a special fair exhibit, because this rabbit's 3 feet long.
Oh, my goodness.
They breed, and you know how British people are. They like unusual things.
Yes.
It's a 3 foot long bird. So anyway, this rabbit was checked by a vet. Everything all checked and ready to go, and all set up with the British Airways to fly. And I forget if it was New York or Washington. Anyway, they reached their destination city, and the person there to meet them, a vet, and the rabbit's dead.
Oh my! That's,
and this is like, and it was like, well, the rabbit was checked, right? I mean, and so it was fine. So something happens, and so I really want to talk to you a little bit about this, because I know sometimes what can happen is people do not realize how stressful it is. We think it's stressful for us.
Yeah.
It's very stressful for pets to travel. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that situation, because, number one, pets don't understand what's going on. They know that everyone's giving them treats and little things, and they put them in the cage, but they don't understand. There's no way, even if you love your pet and try to talk to it a million different ways, that the pet can understand and really be prepared for this flight. Number two, we know that pets hear much more than we hear, and I know how loud a plane is,
right?
Yes. Right? I mean, planes are loud, so if you have a pet, it's got to be so loud. And they're around a lot of other things they don't understand, right?
Yes.
And so let's talk about how we can avoid stressful things for pets, and how we can best prepare them for a trip when they have to be flown somewhere.
Absolutely. I actually have my own story to share about how I had a really terrible experience flying with my dog with an airline. But as far as pet and comfort, one thing I want to say is, every pet is different, but sedation, like, Cindy said, pets don't understand what's going on. So when you think about, a lot of people say, well, let me just give my dog something to knock them out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a veterinarian. I work with many veterinarians, and every pet is totally different. But that's one thing where you say, I can tell you as a human being, I'm going to give you this pill that's going to make you feel this way. But you cannot tell a pet, I'm going to give you this pill, and it's going to make you feel really weird. And sometimes that can make them worse, because that's extremely scary that they don't understand. Not only are they getting put in a weird place, they're also feeling extremely bizarre.
They don't have as much control over their facilities, the faculties, as they would think. And that was, you picked up on the question behind the question. And that was the question behind the question I was going to ask next.
Yeah.
Is because I would assume that some people might, just like they might be tempted to give their child a tranquilizer.
Right.
But they may try to do the same thing, thinking this is the best thing for the pet so the pet doesn't freak out. is to tranquilize them. But I mean, number one, how would you know even the amount? And let alone, you know, like you just said, that could make it worse, right?
Right, because you can't tell a pet, hey, you're going to feel this way. They don't understand that. They just feel it and they don't understand why. And I think along with those lines is the preparation of, you know, you're going to have to put them, if they're not a service animal, you're going to be putting them in a kennel. So getting them used to that kennel before they go would be the same thing with sedation. You know, having the plan in place that they understand what
is
happening.
So number one, put them in the container, the whatever carrier they're going to be. Get them used to that carrier so that, number one, that's not stressful. So they're used to being in that. It's going to be limited compared to what they're used to being in, right?
Yes, keeping it open in your home, putting things inside of it that they like, giving them treats inside of it, letting them know that it's not a negative environment, because if you just put them in a cage and throw them on an airplane, that's really terrifying for them. But if they're already familiarized with the cage and they associate it with you and they associate it with a home-likeness, it's going to be their safe haven on the airplane.
And there's no way to keep them from the noise. I can't think of any way. You can't put headphones on a pet. There's no way to really keep that noise factor from happening.
Things have changed, actually, from, you know, the olden days when the cabins weren't, you know, pressurized, where they were put, the cargo wasn't pressurized, and it was a really big nightmare for pets then. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was scorching hot, sometimes they wouldn't even be allowed to fly. But now I think pretty much all airplanes are temperature controlled and the cargo is pressure controlled. So that's changed tremendously. And I think that also helps with noise reduction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard of cases where pets were so terrified, they chewed their way through their
car. Really?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it really is just preparation, you know, psychologically preparing your pet for what's about to happen and getting them used to the environment they're going to be in for the flight. But the planes have changed tremendously to help accommodate pets, which I think is fantastic.
Now, we're going to tell for a few minutes our pet horror stories. I have one. You have one.
Okay.
When I moved here, I waited for over a year. I had this parrot that was a magical parrot who was like sung more than any bird I've ever heard. And I love dearly, but I was really nervous about, you know, making the change, bringing him over. Finally, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go fly back myself to California. I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to do everything right. I've got a seat, you know, I'll do the whole thing and bring the bird on with me and bring him over. Because he was my baby, my bird, Junior. And Junior was just such a great bird. Well, I get to the airport early, try to do everything right. I show up. I said, okay, this is my bird. This is me. And I have it all arranged. And here's the thing for the bird. And they said, you can't. No, you cannot take the bird on board with you. I said, no, it was cleared. I went through everything. I called the right people. I got everything arranged. No, you cannot. I'm saying, I have to. But when you try arguing with them, it does. When they say no, they mean no. We only had X amount. We filled the things, and you can't bring any more, and you have to put the bird in cargo. I freaked out. It's like, what? I think I can't put my bird in cargo? He's never flown before. So I had to put the bird in cargo. Yeah. And this was when, and then I had to go Oahu and then, of course, take the bird from the plane there and the hot thing and take him down to that place they have there, which is not fun, and do that. And then I finally did get the bird back home on another plane and back there. And I leaned over to him and I said, I'm so sorry, Junior. I love you. And he bit my lip and it took 6 stitches.
Oh, no.
He was pissed.
Oh, I bet.
He was really upset with me. And I didn't really blame him too much. It's like I tried to do the right thing, but these kind of things happen, don't they?
And stress. I mean, stress takes its toll on humans, and stress takes its toll on animals, and that's why you got bit in the lip, because your bird was so stressed out. It just wasn't, you know, Junior wasn't himself. And
no.
Yeah, I have a dog, and he's kind of he's an old man now, but he used to travel with me, and he's actually allowed to be on the airplane. And
okay, let's explain, because my next segment with my friend Jesse Close, who's going to call in, is going to talk how that happens. Explain how you say he's allowed to be on the airplane with you. So can you explain that?
Yeah, just like any pet that's allowed into a public business. If you have a pet that you have service certified, they can travel with you on board. There are some different airlines. You have to check with the airline, have different requirements. I think some they have weight restrictions, size restrictions on. But my dog.
And you have to have a letter, right?
You have to have a letter or some way of showing that they are. That's not something that your veterinarian provides. What you need from your veterinarian when you travel, no matter where you travel, even if it's just inter-island, you need a health certificate, and that's within 10 days of your travel date.
So that's within 10 days. Now, Folks may not know that.
Yes.
So that means you've got to get, even if you've just traveled maybe a month ago, that's not good. You still have to go back and get a certificate.
Absolutely.
And some planes, my friend who's calling in, Jessie, says that she gets it because she has indeed a service animal. She is, she's actually written a book about this, so it's okay to say it. She's bipolar, and she has a dog that is a service animal, and she has to get a letter from her psychiatrist proving it. She has to send the letter when she flies United to United, and it has to be resent every year, and it has to be on file with that other health certificate as well.
Yes, but and that's for anybody traveling anywhere. You need a health certificate within the 10 days. So say you leave here, and you're going for 12 days to the mainland. On your way back, you're going to have to go to a veterinarian on the mainland and get another health certificate that has to be done within the 10 days.
Wow.
We also have a...
That's a good point. So yeah. If you're flying for more than 10 days, you have to get another health certificate and decide to get back.
And the health certificate
is easy. Or else you'd be stuck
there
with your dog and not able to get back on board.
Absolutely. Health certificate is very simple. Your veterinarian will do a thorough exam, make sure that they have the flea prevention that they need. Microchip number written down. I mean, it's a regular 30-minute vet visit to get the paperwork.
But if you're traveling somewhere else, you've got to have someplace you know how to get there and get that arranged. Yeah,
definitely. And international travel, you need an international health certificate. So we have somebody, our veterinarian, Dr. Hillary Noss, at our Central Maui Animal Clinic location, and she does the international health certificates.
And is that also the same regulations, 10 days, or is it different for international?
I believe so. I don't know that off the top of my head, but Hillary's, she's fantastic, and she's really great at making sure all the proper documentation is ready to go for you there.
So here you are. Okay, you've got your health certificate. You're ready with your dog, or back to you getting ready to take your dog on the trip.
Yes. So I was flying with United, and I had a horrible experience. I get there. I had booked my ticket so long ago. I had taken my dog with me. We traveled all over the West Coast and the East Coast, and we were getting ready to fly back to Maui. And this was before I knew about direct release.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through Oahu, through the quarantine, all of that, all those extra steps that you have to take to get here before I knew about direct release. And I go to board my flight in Baltimore, and they tell me I can't get on, that they overbooked the flight.
Oh, no.
I have my dog with me. I'm like, And the time difference between traveling from the East Coast to here, it's really hard to get here in time.
Oh, yeah.
To get through the Department of Agriculture because they close early.
Oh, and my. So, I thought about that.
I'm bawling my eyes out. And my boyfriend at the time got on the phone with the people, and he's my husband now because he really went out to bat for me.
He understood, so that sealed the deal.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And and they were just like a stone face, just sorry, there's nothing we can do.
It's amazing how they can do that.
Oh.
And when you're talking to pet people or people that have pets, that does not work.
It doesn't, work.
You know, because you work with pet people all the time, right?
Yes. And I mean, they must not be pet people because the next step that they put me through was that they made me take a bus, to take a train to Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, no. All the time. With your dog?
My dog. And then a direct flight from Newark to Maui, which was 13 hours without my dog being able to shishi or go potty. And I mean, he's amazing. No. He was totally fine. He just slept at my feet the whole time. But just horrible that the both of us really had to go through that. And we got to Oahu and it was too late. So you got to spend the night in the airport. So that's the thing about direct release.
You had to actually stay in the airport.
Yeah, you have to wait till they open. And so direct release is...
So you couldn't have even left the airport.
No, you can't leave until you have them checked.
Oh my gosh, so you actually had to spend the night at the airport.
Yeah, my husband, boyfriend at the time, came and met me there. So there's another, shout out to him.
Yeah. What's his name?
June, yeah.
You're an angel, June.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying this and we're sharing these stories, not to put down the airlines, but making people aware that this can happen. I do know people that have kind of given up on the idea. Some people don't travel a lot because they don't like the fact that they have to be separated from their pets.
Right.
And they don't like to have to go through what you went through. No wonder.
Right.
Who wants to go through that?
Yes.
And then there's the added issue of the pets are around so many people and so much noise and so much going on that it really is harder on the pets than it is on us. And it's already hard on us. So it is hard on the pets as well.
It is. But, you know, my whole issues would have been solved if I had went through a direct release program, because if my flight had changed, you know, any changes that happen, the direct release program goes with the flow of that. And they aren't going to say, oh, nope, you got to stay at the airport. They they'll come and meet you any time of the day.
Oh,
holidays.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we're just, our people here are just regular people who are certified to, you know, we're certified to release you, but the quarantine branch, when they're closed, they're closed. There is no way around that. If you miss your flight or if your flight gets delayed, then you're stuck there. And that's what
happened
to me. It was a nightmare. And I wish I had done this, and you think about
I truthfully didn't know about it. Actually, I heard your ad on the radio station.
Yeah,
and
great.
I did not know about that before. And so I try to follow these things, and I'd never heard of this program. Now, what I do know, because I hear all the time and I'm in touch with the Maui Humane Society, they started the Wings of Aloha program.
Yes.
Which is really interesting because, obviously, being an island, we have way too many dogs, and there's many, many dogs that don't have homes, and there's certainly not enough people to take home a dog on this island. It's really a problem. And they started, and it's so caring that they started this program where they would fly animals to other states. You've heard of this program,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely. We love the Humane Society. Absolutely. They're doing great work that way.
So they literally would find the funding to get the pet another home or another place or another rescue place, someplace that the pet can find another place to live in other states. And they literally fly the pets out, and I guess they have to go through all these steps you're just talking about, but they have their own vet, so maybe they can just get that pet certified and then take it right down to the airport. And how do they fly the pet? Is anyone there to fly the pet over, or how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know with the Wings of Aloha exactly what they do. I know that their veterinarians could do their health certificate for them and take them to the airport. But I'm not sure if there's anybody that actually flies with them. I imagine that there's somebody that they coordinate with who picks them up. So I couldn't answer that honestly.
An interesting thing I just heard about from Peter Greenberg, he posted, this was very interesting, that the good news, kind of, is that some airlines and airports, have decided and realized, as you know, that pets help de-stress people. So LAX. Have you heard about this program? LAX now has dogs. And these aren't drug dogs, we know. These are dogs that they let people pet to help them de-stress. They actually bring pets around and ask people if they'd like to spend a little time and pet the dog, you know.
That is amazing. So, I know I'm a nervous wreck flying. The older I get, the more I'm scared.
So I think isn't this wonderful? There's an airline, and I have it in the other room, but I didn't bring it in. There's an airline. No, it's an airport. I think it's Minnesota, where it brings miniature horses into the airport.
Can you imagine
how cool? I mean, if you want to get yourself with your mind off your troubles, and this little miniature pony comes up to you, you're immediately not going to be thinking about your problems. You're going to pet this lovely little animal, and you're going to feel good, right?
I got to tell you, I've never wanted to go to Minnesota for any reason until now. Now I want to go.
is it such a cool thing?
That's fantastic.
And
amazing.
I am really, really hoping that more airports will realize that by having these animals around, and number one, the animals like it, they're treated good, they like to be petted and loved, and these people who are doing it have a brilliant idea. So, I mean, if you could go to an airport and you have to sit there for 5 hours, I mean, all I can think about is British Airlines, hello. You need some pets down there. You need a lot of pets down there.
They should just have a dog on every flight that walks by when you're getting your beverages, and you can pet the dog, and then you just
can
feel
you imagine
so much better.
At every gate, if you had these pets at the gates, that, you know, when you're sitting there waiting for an hour, because you have to get there early, so you have an hour and a half, and you're going, and I mean, pets are so magical and such a great way of de-stressing that I just think it'd be the coolest thing in the world if they started bringing more pets to the airports to let people, you know, once you're in, it's too much at the, you know, TSA and all that stuff, but once you're in and you have all that time to have a pet.
Yes.
Would be the coolest idea. And I'm just throwing that out there, folks. When I heard about this, I thought this is one of the better ideas that airports have come up with.
Absolutely.
And I just think it really, really would help. Now, we have about, I think my friend's calling in about 6 minutes, but But along that line of pets, when you get your pet and when people tell you they're going to fly and they want to take their pet, what do you tell them to do to make that pet more comfortable? Like you said, Shishi, what do you do about food? What do you do to for the person to take and be prepared for when their pet's with them on the plane?
You mean if they're in the cargo or if they're actually on the plane
with
them?
They're actually on the plane with them.
Oh, yeah. Just making sure, you know, that they get to do their business before they go on.
How do you do that once they're in the air, though? How do you arrange that?
Once they're in the air, I mean, there really isn't much of an
option. You can take him to the bathroom.
Like I said, Lono, that's my dog. He was stuck 13 hours just because the airline just really couldn't give to, you know, they didn't care, basically, about, you know, what he had to do or what I had to do. And
wow.
I was so worried he was going to do something on the plane, but he was so, animals, I'm sure you've seen, they're just so adaptable.
Yeah.
We worry about them so much, but you're amazed by once they get here. It's kind of like when humans fly to Hawaii. Once you get here, you don't even care that you just had a...
You forget about the bad time.
You're just like, oh, there's the beach and the
weather. My parrot did not forget.
He did not forget. Well, maybe birds hold grudges. Yeah.
He did not forget. But, I mean, what do you bring as far as snacks and food and stuff? How do you handle that?
I mean, for my dog, I would just bring the general stuff that I'd bring if we're going on a road trip. You know, you have to get the
some
water once you're actually in
the plane. That's right. Because you couldn't bring water with you.
So a good idea to get one of those little travel collapsible water dishes.
Where would you get that?
To bring one of those. Any pet store, Amazon, you know, Hawaii, Amazon's
our best
friend.
And it's called a collapsible water dish.
Yeah, it's just really easy because it folds up. It's made of, you know, a nice sort of canvas material.
Huh.
So you can bring that on the plane, and then you'd have to get water from the stewardess. Just bring some of your pet's favorite dry food snacks with you. Hopefully you don't get a 13-hour flight like we did.
yeah, you probably bring some toys too, huh?
And you know, and yeah, toys are good, but you don't want to get a squeaker because you might drive neighbors completely crazy. I mean, it's interesting. I find that most people that have animals that fly on the plane with them, the noise, there's like this general hum of an airplane that tends to put animals just straight to sleep.
Interesting.
My dog is very alert when we're not flying, but as soon as we get on an airplane, he just gets super sleepy. So it's just this general
I would not have guessed that. Interesting.
Yeah. So
that's good.
Flying, oftentimes, if they're in the cabin with you is often very relaxing, I've seen for most dogs.
I have found that sometimes when pets are stressed, I'm thinking of my parrot, Junior. And he was just a wonderful parrot, and everyone loved him, but sometimes he would bite out of nowhere if he was stressed. Do you have to worry if you have a pet and people want to pet your pet, but then if your animal's stressed, the dog might bite someone or something? Or how do you handle that? And I'm sure this could be a problem with cats, right? They could get scratched or something.
Right.
So do you worry about other people if you have the pet out that someone might get bit or someone might get scratched if it's a cat or something like that?
Well, if they're on the plane with you, they're supposed to be service animals. So they're supposed to have the correct amount of training to make them act, you know, very, very behaved in front of other people.
I see.
That typically shouldn't happen.
Okay.
If you have a pet that's able to fly in the cabin with you. Now, if they're not in the cabin with you, then they're in cargo, then they're going to actually be contained the entire time. And you have to have an airline-approved crate. So you can't just use any old crate. You have to get one of those more heavy-duty plastic carriers that are airline-approved to fly with your pet on there. And that's, you know, that's not, that eliminates the possibility of an airline worker getting injured or anybody else getting injured.
I think we have to throw in here, you should get down to the airport very, very much ahead of time.
Yes, very much ahead of time. Another thing that's really great about direct release is that everybody on our team that does direct release are animal lovers and they work for the vet clinic. And so they're quick. They're there before your pet lands.
Really?
And as soon as the people release the pet to us, we take them, we let them go potty, even if we haven't seen you yet.
Wow.
We want to make sure that they're comfortable. That's our primary concern because, you know, our motto is no pet left behind.
Aww.
And pets aren't part of the family. They are family.
Yes.
And we have pets, and we try to do what we would want done for our pets if we were flying with our pets. So
You know, it's really something to consider, and I think things are evolving. I know they've evolved, and I know it's better than it used to be, you know, so thank God for that. I mean, it's much better than it used to be. And with this direct release program, I just think it's wonderful that all of a sudden you can, you know, this gives you so many options. But, I mean, things to remember. You have to be prepared. You have to get the certificates. You have to think 3 months in advance, right?
Right. Yeah, 3 months minimum. If your pet's already had a couple of rabies shots, then that gives you quite a – that reduces your time significantly. But we just say start planning ahead at least 3 months. Give us a call. We'll walk you through the process. We'll hold your hand. And then you won't have to worry, because if you're going through – Oahu, it's all on you. You got to figure it out yourself. And
does it work the opposite way? If someone's going from here to the mainland, they've never had to worry if their pet's grown up here about rabies. But, oh, I think my friend's calling. Wait, one second. I get this. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
I'm good.
I've got a vet here. We're talking about pets. And on the phone, my dear friend Jesse Close. And I'm so glad you're calling in from Montana, where it's big sky
Yay.
Country. Yay, is it beautiful there today?
Yes.
I talked to you this morning. I said, she said, I'm here with my 7 dogs.
Aww, that's awesome.
is it 6 dogs? Okay. Well, you've got 4 and you're watching too. So,
yeah.
But we're talking all about travel and traveling with dogs and things to think of and be prepared for. And this wonderful person from our friends at South Maui Animal Clinic is talking about a program I hadn't been aware of called a direct release program, where people can come and travel with their pets and come here. It's so cool. You'd love it. Next time you come over, you can bring your dog. Because,
yeah,
you don't have to worry about it. And because, if I get it right here, basically, what you have to do is just certify 3 months in advance your dog doesn't have rabies, right?
Yeah, I mean, it varies like with each person. Like I said, if you've already had, you need 2 rabies vaccines. So if you've already had 1, that reduces your time. If you've already had 2 and they're done within the right time frame, then that reduces your time even more. So, and I'm not a vet, by the way. I'm just the the voice of the clinics, just to be clear. But yeah, so direct release just means you can fly here. You don't have to go through Honolulu. Most people still think it's back the old way it used to be, and everybody has to go through Oahu to get here. But that's not the case anymore. You can fly directly into Maui.
Yeah, that's
wow.
Isn't that nice? You know, well, you have your lovely service dog, and of course, you know, your dog's kind of famous. Well, you have pictures all over about your dog. I mean, your dog is there with you in everything, and when you go on your speaking engagements, you bring your dog with you a lot of times,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when I would speak, she would sit on the podium because she's just a little Chihuahua Yorkie mix. And at her best weight, she's about 7 pounds. So the only thing that I had to do is get a letter from my psychologist that allows me to take her on an airplane without even having to put her in a case. So that was really wonderful, and that's an easy letter to get if you have someone who's taking care of you as far as your psychology is concerned.
Well, you have to get it. You have a psychiatrist or psychologist you work with, so you just have to keep that letter updated every year?
Yeah.
And you also had to get the health certificate, correct?
I know United Airlines asks you to send them a copy of the letter, and they keep it on file. I haven't come across that with any of the other airlines, although I have the letter. I reduced it way down and just, what's it called when you put it in plastic?
Oh, yeah.
Laminated it.
Yeah, you laminate
it. Laminate it, and I can just keep it in my purse.
But you don't have to get a health certificate, huh?
Huh?
You have to see your veterinarian within 10 days of travel?
No. I have to have her rabies and Bordetella and all that up to date, and that's it.
And then before you travel, do you go to your veterinarian and they provide you with the documentation that says that you have all of that?
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay. So that's when they issue, they give you a piece of paper that you fly with that shows that you have all of that?
Yeah, and they can just send it to you, email, print it out, or, you know.
So that, yeah, so that's the health certificate that shows that your pet's healthy and able to fly and has all of their update vaccinations.
Yeah.
Well, Jessie did this wonderful book called Resilience, Two Sisters and a Story of Mental Illness. It's about her and her sister, Glenn Close. And you were doing a lot of traveling for your nonprofit, bringchangetomind.org. And you were doing speaking engagements. You were traveling two or three times a month, weren't you?
Yeah, it was way too much. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm speaking over in a little town called Dillon, Montana, in September, and that's about it for the year. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
But I had my girl with me, my Snitz girl, my service dog. So,
did you ever have any problems with airlines? Even with everything that you were supposed to have, did they ever give you a hard time or tell you the dog couldn't come on or any of those situations?
American Airlines. Some woman freaked out and was even threatening to take my dog.
Oh no!
And I will never fly American Airlines.
No, wow. No, you can't. Those are fighting words. Those
oh my goodness!
Oh my!
It was so unnecessary.
Uh huh. But we were just talking about horror stories that happened with this. I had that happen with my parrot Junior once, where I couldn't fly in. They made me put the parrot in cargo, even though I had everything prepared. And the same thing happened once. You know, and these stories happen. Unfortunately, Danielle had her dog, and she had everything right, but then the plane was canceled, and she had to take the dog, like, what, through a train and a bus and a thing and go get 13 and
they
hours.
They overbooked the plane. Oh, it wasn't even that the plane was, they overbooked it. And of all the people they could have, given the boot, they gave the boot to the person with the dog that has to be at the quarantine station before it closes. And it was horrible.
Oh,
it was horrible. Really? So he was on the plane for a 13 straight hour flight after being on a train and a bus. Yeah.
And then she had to spend the night at the airport on Oahu because the quarantine station to check it hadn't been opened, and they wouldn't let her out of the airport without it being checked by quarantine. But things we do for our pets, it's really pretty amazing. But you know, on the whole, you know, I mean, for you, it's really worth it having that dog there. I mean, people, we're going to talk a little bit about the fact that sometimes people say that they have service dogs when they really don't have service dogs, and that sometimes people
they
look
don't
at you
need them,
and that maybe sometimes people look at you like, well, you're just using it. There's so many service dogs you see now that people are questioning if that service dog's really needed to be a service dog, right?
Yeah, the only reason I can't travel with her anymore, and luckily I'm not traveling that much, is because she's 12 now, and she can't hold her urine like she used to be. Oh, she could go for, 10, 12 hours. But she was also trained to a pee-pee pad that I would put down in the ladies' room, and if she really, really, really had to go, she would do it.
Wow, you actually trained. I was joking about that, taking your dog to the bathroom and you actually do take your dog to the bathroom and she would pee on the pad, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great.
That is so awesome.
Wow. How long did that take to train your dog to do?
Not long at all, because I think there's some kind of scent in those pee-pee pads.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to go. She had to go, and she wasn't going to go on the tile.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't take long at all.
Well, that's very handy. What did you do for treats and other things to give your dog, or what did you bring on board to have with your dog when you travel or did travel with your dog?
Just a bottle of water and a little cup. I wouldn't feed her
because
she couldn't, you know, use the bathroom. So
Now,
it was great because she could. She's so small, she could just sit right next to me. And being a service dog, she didn't have to be in a crate. Mm-hmm. So, oh, I did. I do remember one airline. Oh my gosh, what was it called? It's the airline where they squeeze you in.
JetBlue?
Little, huh?
JetBlue?
Yeah, JetBlue. And I took her arm, and the stewardess just freaked out and brought a little cage that I said, you've got to be kidding me. She would be squished inside there.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up a fuss. We were already in the air, so they couldn't kick me off. And she got to sit next to me. I think maybe when you're traveling with an animal, when you encounter someone who doesn't particularly like dogs, then you're in a problem. You have a problem.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah. I don't know why they did that. It was ridiculous.
Now, did you find she was very resilient? I found, you know, my boy, he just wanted to be with me. It didn't matter if he was in a plane, a train, a bus. He was just so resilient to traveling. Was your girl the same way?
You're kind of muffled. What?
Did she enjoy traveling with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a whole series of pictures of her on top of all the pillows that give you in a hotel, and it's like all the different headboards. I must have 20 pictures of her with different headboards and huge mountains of pillows. So when we would be off the plane and go to her room, she would jump into the pillows. It was so cute.
Did you ever have trouble with some of the hotels you were staying at about your service dog?
Say that again?
Did you ever have problems at the hotels with any of the hotels saying no to your service dog? No, yeah.
No.
Well, that's good. Because I think more and more hotels are becoming pet friendly.
Well, it's against the law if they don't allow. I mean, even if it says no dogs allowed, if your dog has a little vest and you have the proper paperwork, they cannot refuse you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Snitz would wear her little service dog vest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 4 or 5 inches long on the sides. So
as big as she is.
Yeah, she just trots along in her little service dog vest.
You said one time,
I don't know.
You told me this morning about one time you saw someone that had a service cockatiel.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is so
cool. I was
cool.
At a NAMI conference, the National Mental Health Organization, and there was a woman there pushing a baby perambulator with a cage in it with a cockatiel in it. And it was her service bird.
I know. Hey, listen. I mean, being a bird person myself, I totally get that. You know, I mean, I would love to be able to travel with a bird, but, you know, I imagine there's like special requirements there as well, you know, but it's got to be interesting with an extra piece of baggage with a perambulator. I would imagine you do have to cage a bird if you take a bird with you, you know, it's got to be interesting.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any problems with anyone else having pets? Because you have your dog, and you ever see other people with cats or any other animals that might be a distraction?
The only other one I've heard about was a miniature pony.
Aww.
And the person would always have to reserve a bulkhead seat.
Wow.
And the pony...
They had the miniature
pony would come on with them, which I cannot imagine.
I wonder if the pony was potty trained, because that would be very interesting.
Whoa. It's big, you know, that's that would be an interesting one to deal with. But, you know, we were just saying, I was talking here about how important pets are. We all know that pets really help calm people down. We know that they can go to hospitals and that they're used more and more. And I'm so glad that some of these airports are now using animals to help de-stress people. And not only that, you know, you can't help but smile. If you know, I mean, how can you help but smile if you see a pet come up and wag its tail and you know, you're petting the pet, you know? So it's so wonderful to see that pets now are going to be integrated to help people.
Yes.
Because they are helpers. I mean, it is still really difficult to fly with pets for a lot of people. And
it shouldn't be,
right. It really shouldn't be in this day and age, you know. But yeah. I'm afraid that every now and then someone has a horror story, like we kind of shared a couple of them, that can happen. And they just go, I mean, like I was saying, I know some people that don't want to fly because it's too hard to leave their pets behind, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it happens. I mean, it's hard for you when you travel, and you do travel still quite a bit. I mean, you have to leave your pets. And do you have a really wonderful pet person that you trust to take care of your animals when you go and you can't take the rest
of
your pets?
I do. My daughter's best friend. I'm about to go to California on Friday to visit my second-born son. And my daughter's best friend is in a hospice.
That's perfect.
So, yeah, really yeah. Perfect.
Because if you didn't have someone in the house, it'd be really hard for the pets, you know, and But now they're getting more and more places that are nice pet hotels. But I think the best thing is for them to be able to stay in their own environment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Especially, can you imagine how much it would cost to have six dogs in a kennel?
No, I can't imagine. No. I can't imagine at all. And you've had, I remember visiting you in Bozeman, Montana, when you had remember when you had that donkey? You had a donkey and... You've had a lot of menagerie, a lot of animals, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, my firstborn son lives on that property, and they have horses. And speaking of horses, one of the dogs that belongs to my daughter is a Newfoundland.
Oh, my.
So he is...
Big.
So huge, but he's just a sweetheart. I don't know if I'm going to give him back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that dog eats a lot of food.
Yeah. My house isn't terribly big, and he follows me everywhere.
Oh, well, we're
pretty cute.
Well, we're just about out of time, but people can read your book, Resilience. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you.
And they can check out the nonprofit Bring Change to Mind, .org, right?
Yep.
And it's really a beautifully written book an amazing story, great pictures. And it's wonderful to see how Glenn and you and then your sons and everyone have thrived and survived and supported each other.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah, my firstborn lives with schizophrenia. He just went to New York. He was invited by a group to go there and had a great time. And with that illness, he's so lucky that he we caught it when he was young,
mm-hmm.
because he's a highly functioning, wonderful young man. And
talented,
artist.
A wonderful artist, fabulous
yeah.
artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. And with the support of everyone in the family towards us and... the courage to come out and say, hey, listen, this is mental illness. This happens. We are a family that have supported each other, not hidden behind it. In fact, we only have 40 seconds. You were in Grand Central Station with Ron Howard producing a PSA about mental health. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yep, that was scary.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. But you didn't have your service dog with you, I don't think, at that time.
I think I did.
Oh, did you?
Okay.
Isn't
but
she
wasn't,
famous?
I don't know why I wasn't holding her in that PSA. I don't know.
Well, that's anyway. All the time we have, but wonderful talking to you, my friend. You take
you
care.
Too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
And I do want to say you can contact our friends at South Maui Animal Clinic at 849-446-1521. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you so
it's
much for having
wonderful.
Me. Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.